Can we be more sensitive to the need to be sensitive? This is Rabbi Yitzchak Price with another episode of Tachlis Talks, growth-oriented, parsha-related Torah podcasts. We are up to the Torah portion of Tzav, and a parsha that deals with a lot of technicalities related to the offerings in the temple, and it tends to make many of us rather timid when we approach parshas like this as to, can I understand it? Can I relate to it? But enormous messages in every paragraph, in every sentence, every word of the Torah, and the Parsha of Tzav is no exception to that. I'd like to look at one of the offerings and a lesson that we can learn, which is actually a lesson that we find throughout the Torah. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, is told in our Parsha to be offering a mincha offering, a grain offering, a large measure of flour mixed with oil, which he would bring and split, half brought in the morning, half brought in the evening. This is to be brought when he is inducted into being the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and to continue every day of his tenure as the high priest. So for the following days, months, years, decades, hopefully many decades, that he would be in this position, he would bring every day this measure of flour combined with oil, turned into the mincha offering, this grain offering, half offered in the morning, half offered in the evening. Addressing this offering, the Abar Benel, great work of Don Yitzchak Abar Benel, at one point the finance minister to Ferdinand and Isabella, who refused their offer to stay when they were kicking out all of the rest of Spanish Jewry, they offered him clearance from this edict. He said, only if I can keep the community as well, that they weren't ready to budge on. And he led the way tradition has it, he led the last group of Jews that were leaving Spain at the time out of the country on Tisha B'Av of 1492. Went to Portugal, where unfortunately it wasn't long before there was further expulsion from there. Very, very difficult life. Many, many of his writings were lost, but thankfully we have his commentary to Torah. And on this parsha, addressing this offering of the high priest bringing this grain offering, Abar Benel's text has 10 suggestions as to lessons we can learn from this offering. We will look today at one of them. Who else brings a grain offering? We tend to think of offerings as the animal offerings, or perhaps as the bird offerings, but they're also the mincha offerings, the grain offerings. And in some instances, the grain offering is the opportunity for somebody who could not afford an animal, could not even afford a bird, he would be given the opportunity, he or she, to be bringing a grain-based offering, much less expensive. So the poor person, and particularly when it came to a sin offering, the poor, regarding some spiritual failures, could be coming and presenting his offering as the grain offering. We could imagine somebody who has to be showing up to the tuition committee and asking for the scholarship might consider keeping his child in public school rather than approaching the Jewish day school. People don't like having to ask for help. They don't like making it public that their financial situation is less than comfortable. And we can imagine that there would be people who would be a little shy about bringing a grain offering to the temple until they discover that guess who else is bringing a grain offering to the temple? Guess who's bringing a grain offering to the temple every day? The high priest. If he's bringing a grain offering, how bad can it look that I'm bringing a grain offering? This is no longer the offering only of the pauper. This is the offering of the high priest. And as such, the Torah had the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, bring this offering to allay the concerns and to reduce the difficulty, the distance that one might have in coming to bring this grain offering if the reason they're doing it is out of financial difficulty. The sensitivity the Torah has to the poor. Interestingly, we learn a similar issue related to the sensitivity to the poor regarding the bird offering. in last week's parsha, when describing bringing the bird on the altar, the text indicates that the feathers are to remain on the bird when the bird is put on the altar. And as Rashi comments, the odor of burning feather is really bad. It's something that is very disturbing. But Hashem says, I'll take the hit. Let my temple have some bad odor so that the pauper doesn't feel that his offering has been so reduced. Imagine a little bird. The birds, we're not talking about bringing turkeys. We're talking about bringing Yonah, Tor O Yonah, turtle doves, little birds. And if we now defeather them, the amount that's going to the altar would seem to be very, very minuscule. With the feathers, at least we have something to look at. So that the poor person doesn't feel, oh, look at everybody. Everybody's going to look at me as bringing something so petty, so meaningless. We keep those feathers on the bird, despite the fact that generally Hashem wants the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, to be an environment that is pristine, that is pure, has nice fragrance. But no, let it include the burning of those feathers so that he not feel dejected that he's bringing so little. In a parallel, when it comes to bringing the first fruits of one's farm to the Kohen in Yerushalayim, the Bikurim, the poor are told, bring it in a basket and give the basket as well. That way you're giving the Kohen something, the Kohen is seen receiving something substantive. The wealthy are coming with maybe a broad array of fine, large fruit. The poor, a few measly fruit, but it can't seem so measly if we're actually handing over the basket too. Repeatedly, the Torah trying to project into the operations tools to be sensitive to the poor, to have their needs in mind. We have interesting parallels to this in other areas of the Torah. The Torah tells us we cannot plow with the ox and the donkey as one team. They're not to be linked together as one team. Various reasons given for this. The Das Kehinim Mibali Tosus, one of the reasons printed in Mikra'os Gedolos Chumash, tells us, I believe that's actually where it says this, that the cow chooses its cud. The donkey does not. So imagine, as we're in the middle of the workday, and the donkey's noticing that, hey, my buddy over here, Mr. Cow, he's busy eating lunch. Where do you get the food? I haven't been given anything to eat. So as to not have the donkey feel frustrated that he's teamed up with somebody who's noshing all afternoon, we can't tie him up to the cow. Now, again, the primary message here is not for the donkey, it's for us as the reader of the text to learn this sensitivity and to realize if I am in a situation that I'm a have and there's somebody who's a have not, I can't be flaunting what I have in front of that have not. I can't make this person feel dejected that I've got it made while he is rather hungry and otherwise in a state of discomfort. A last area where we find this, and again, there are probably many others, but interestingly, a piece of Talmud I was just studying earlier today, the holiday of Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, in the middle of the summer, a very, very minor holiday, but it was considered a day of intense joy in Israel. On that holiday, the young women would dance in the vineyards, letting it be known that they were available for Shidduchim to be matched up to find spouses, but they would wear borrowed clothing. They would exchange clothing. So there was no ranking of a wealthy young woman versus a poor woman. There was a sense of equalizing and neutralizing any distinctions. By the way, when it comes to garb and that neutralizing, fascinatingly, those are familiar with Jewish burial customs. People are buried in tachrichim, in the shrouds that are generally white cotton or linen, all just about the same. There's very little distinction with any of the burial shrouds that are utilized today. because there were times that people were using all types of very elegant and expensive material and having the poor feel, I can't provide that for my loved one. And they would literally, it seems at times, abandon taking care of the needs of their loved ones so they not be seen providing something so meager. Rather extreme, but because of that, there was a decree to keep things really the same, or at least in relatively the same categories as far as what is provided in those instances. Sensitivity to the other, recognition that just because I have, I don't use or flaunt if it's causing somebody else distress. To recognize the fact that our behavior is impacting others outside of ourselves. The story is told as we get now into Pesach mode, the capacity to be in tune to somebody else's need and to be reactive to somebody else's need. The Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik of Brisk, Lithuania, the great-grandfather of what became the huge Soloveitchik dynasty of great Torah scholars, was approached by a family asking if they can use milk instead of the wine for the four cups at the Pesach Seder. What did Rabbi Soloveitchik respond? He responded by providing them with wine and chicken. So his family member said, I understand that you gave them wine. Why chicken? So the Beis Halevi responded, if they're asking about using milk, they must not be having a fleshing dinner. They're not having a meat-based Seder if they're asking to use milk. He had no suspicions that they were blending meat and milk at their Pesach Seder. So that means they don't have chicken either. And he was in tune to that. A step, a first step before our behavior is our recognition. Our sensitivity to the other requires of being sensitive to the notion of sensitivity, being in tune to the fact that my buddy donkey over here can't chew his cud, or that my buddy, teammate, a table mate, colleague at work, neighbor, being in tune to their situation, their plight, recognizing that, oh, there are poor people who can't be bringing the cow or the bird, and what does that feel like for them? Recognizing that there are, as a frustration, and showing up with something that seems so meager, and having a very tiny, puny offering, so reacting to that by having the Torah say, leave the feathers on there. But that's because God is in tune to the psyche of the poor. But he's telling us we need to be as well. For us to be able to react properly and have the proper standards of behavior regarding the other, we need to be in tune to the need of the other. We need to be aware of what it is that might be disturbing within somebody else's life experience, what's happening economically, what's happening socially, what's happening in their family dynamic, and be reactive to that in what we do or don't talk about in their presence, what we do or don't show off in their presence, what we do or don't act out in their presence, because we are in tune to the other. Developing that sensitivity to the other, developing the desire to be sensitive and being tuned to the other and becoming more other-focused, and then building on that awareness in terms of how we act, talk, emote in their presence will hopefully help us be able to be greater providers of care to the other. God forbid, not those who are causing pain and distress, but very much the opposite, that we can be eliminating pain and distress and providing care and goodness, and being such sensitive to sensitivity people will make us far more likely to achieve our tachlis.